right when I was rolling, the 43 was rolling down pit road, so we were kind of in qualifying trim, and you're sitting on all the stops and whatnot, and it doesn't handle like it would in race trim. I was tucked up behind the 43, so it was interesting to see how the car drove in qualifying trim behind a car, but I wouldn't say we learned a ton. We only did one lap, so just got to get ready for the duel. We're pretty focused on having a good race car for handling and maneuvering in the draft rather than that one speed lap for qualifying.
So solid at SHR last year. What's realistic expectations coming you over front row? Like, you really kind of got the band back together with Utah and Zane. What's realistic for you in that four car this year?
You know, we want to just minimize the mistakes, and I think that's the goals that we have. Maximize the opportunity and minimize the mistakes. And when you get to week 20 of this deal, the motivation tends to get lost a little bit, no matter who it is, a driver, team members, pit crew. It wears and tears on you. So just being able to stay motivated each and every week, and we want to have strong runs, obviously. We go to the racetrack to win every race, but, you know, sometimes that's not in the cards for that given weekend. So with that being said, we want to just maximize the opportunity that we got each and every given weekend.
What's it been like acclimating over there? Obviously, I'm sure it's a little bit easier because you're going over there with familiar faces, both behind the wheel and on top of the pit box, trying to fade through. But what's that process been like going from a safe trying to drop them on?
It's been really smooth on my side of things. I know trying to get cars and haulers and all that stuff, starting up a third team, it's been a little bit of a challenge for the team in itself, but for myself personally, it's been really, really smooth, much smoother than it's ever been. And a lot of that, like you said, is I have the same crew chief, so we're already on the same page. We've worked with each other. When I get inside the race car, all my interior stuff, where the wheel is located, all the measurements, that's all the same. So when I sat in the Bowman Gray car and went out for first practice, I feel like I didn't even skip a beat from how we ended the season in Phoenix, just with how comfortable I was behind the wheel and whatnot. So with all that being said, we do have some new crew members on our team, so I feel like there's a lot of energy that we got, a lot of passion with our group, and it's exciting stuff. Yeah, a little bit of it is, you know, everyone's kind of bouncing ideas off of each other on past organizations and the feel of the car that they've had or how their car handled. Granted, we are in the first week, but it's, hey, did you have this when you were driving over at Spire last year? Todd, did you have this feeling? I know I've had this feeling when I was at Legacy or at Stuart Haas and whatnot. So I think it's definitely productive to be able to have three drivers in those situations where they've been at different organizations and seeing how they operate and whatnot. But at the same time, you know, we do have a really good balance of us three drivers. We're really good friends off the racetrack and we have fun. But when we're at the shop and we're in a post-race debrief, we're locked in and we're really focused. So it's been good. Yeah, I feel like it doesn't make it easier, but it's not hard in any way. It's just, you know, being teammates with whoever, everybody kind of talks about and diagnoses the car a little bit differently. So just trying to figure out exactly where they're at on things and how they communicate. I haven't been teammates with Zane since we were in Legend Cars or a few races at Junior Motorsports in 2019, but it wasn't as serious, and we certainly, it wasn't a job back then in Legend Cars, so we would get out of the car and say, hey, I'm tired or I'm loose, and we go throw the football, you know, so now we're really honed in into our process and communicating all that stuff, so that's a great question. I think it's just a different group of guys that we all have to, you know, learn each other, and it'll get easier throughout the year.
Yep. What does this race mean to you?
What has your experience been in prior years, and what's it mean to be able to go out with an opportunity to win this race?
Yeah, it's certainly special. Like you said, an opportunity. That's the most important thing is we have an opportunity. I'm very grateful for that. There's only going to be 40, maybe 41 people in the world that get to run this race this year, and you know, it's pretty surreal to be able to have the opportunity not only to run this race once or even to make a lap at Daytona, whether it be in the, you know, NASCAR Racing Experience cars, to say you've been able to do that. This is a dream of mine to just make a lap here, and it's everybody's bucket list. It's our biggest race of the year, the Daytona 500. So to have an opportunity to race for the win is special, and it's something that I'll forever be grateful for. Absolutely. It's like playing poker. You got chips on the table. You have an opportunity to get dealt a good hand, you know? And I feel like we have a good hand over here at Front Row Motorsports. We got three great crew chiefs. We got three great drivers. We got three great teams and a lot of fire and a lot of passion and excitement. So it's been fun throughout this offseason. I know things are starting to get ramped up, and we've already had one rep at it at Bowman Gray, but to go into the shop and see everybody's focus and determination, it makes me motivated to go to work each and every day.
How quick can you think you can get victory lane with these guys? Is it something that you feel like you can, I mean, since Front Row's got the Penske Alliance, the uptick in performance has been there. They've been fast on all those super speedways. Can you realistically find yourself in a position to win this race and put yourself in hopes of the playoffs?
Yeah, I absolutely think here especially you have an opportunity to win the race. They showed a graphic during practice of the past Daytona winners, and it's if you look at where guys finished in the points last year, it's a mix-up throughout the whole entire lineup. So it's certainly doable to win the race. Now, once we get to Phoenix and Vegas, I don't know yet. I haven't been on tracks like that. This is... You asked me this question, and 6 or 7 weeks from now, I probably have a different answer. But right now, I'm just so focused on our process and having the excitement to see, hey, where are we going to stack up against these guys? But having the opportunity to come out here each and every week, we've got great resources with Team Penske. We have great resources within our own organization. Just about working hard each and every day and getting closer to our goals, and that's winning races on a consistent basis.
So I know it's been a couple of years in a different series, but when you come through the top here, does it still hit you like, holy crap, I got my first Xfinity competition?
Yeah, I feel like I kind of forget that I've won here sometimes, as silly as that sounds. I don't know if that's just me being so focused on the and that's probably part of my problems. I'm always looking for what's next, right? And you kind of forget about the past. But I always try, when I won my first Canaan ARCA West Series race back in 2015, I didn't fully take it in as much as I wish I would have. I was laying in bed months later, and I was like, man, if I could just go back to that moment and stand on top of the car, that would just be the coolest thing ever, to just win again and just feel that emotion and all the excitement. And so from that point on, I've really tried to just, it goes by quick, you know, we win these races, you know, it goes by super quick. Or even if you know, don't do as good, you're always focused on the next race. But I've tried to take, you know, different moments throughout the race weekends and say, hey, man, this is really cool stuff. Pre-race, this is awesome. You know, in the middle of the race, dang, this is really cool. You know, just try and take that in, take a second or two to just realize how cool the shit is, you know? But certainly winning here in the Xfinity Series, although it is in different car and different specs and they drive a little different, winning those races, you can't teach experience of leading races and being out front. So certainly taking that experience from the past and utilizing it each and every lap when I'm in the race car.
Able to take that step back and recognize that you
Yeah, I think it's different points in my life and also maturing as and getting older and wiser. But at the same time, it really hit me in late 2023 when you're sitting on the sidelines and, you know, a week prior you're at the track and things might not be going your way and you're like, man, this sucks. Like, I don't want to be here right now. But then when you're removed from the situation and you're watching, there's a little bit of jealousy and animosity towards, man, I wish I could be there. And it makes you look back and appreciate the moments that you do have, because the only thing we can take with us in life at the end of the day, 40, 50, 60 years from now, or when we're at our last minutes on our deathbed, is the opportunities and the memories that we've had and just trying to make the most of it. So if things aren't going as well, it could be a hell of a lot worse. And every time I am at the racetrack, I enjoy seeing all my, you know, friends and competitors. And that's what keeps me going at the end of the day is being able to just see the positives in things and trying to think of things, not even glass half full, think of them glass full. It's awesome. I'm super excited for them. And they were, the Junior Motorsports team was on our flight down here, on the plane. So we shared the plane with them. And there's a lot of old crew members that were there that I've known for several years now that I worked with back at Junior Motorsports. And to be able to see their excitement is, it's awesome to see. It's really cool for Dale and Amy and Kelly, LW, Joe Mattis. Everybody who's been a part of that company, all the drivers that have gone through there, all the team members that have gone through there, there's a lot of people that have been there from the get-go, back before it was Junior Motorsports, and to see them be able to race in the Cup Series, but hey, shit, they're doing it in the Great American Race, their first ever race out. It's really cool to see, and I'm definitely rooting for those guys for sure. I have not yet. I talked to Kelly and LW on, you know, a pretty consistent basis, and we haven't talked about the Daytona 500. I'm sure I'll see him down here, but our relationship's super tight. They're more of a aunt and uncle relationship to me, and I, you know, talk to them, and they keep their eye on me quite a bit. So I'm very tight with Kelly and LW, so it's exciting for them. Well, that's the most important part for me as a driver is having a good relationship and having good communication with both the crew chief and the engineers. The engineers are so important these days, and a lot of what we do, other than mechanical issues and getting the car to the racetrack, our speed is solely off of the communication and the relationship that you have with your engineers and your crew chief. So that is very valuable to be able to have a year under our belt, have an experience with them. They know my, you know, tempo and my language and my cadence of things and how I communicate, and being able to be on the same page is very important to have fast race cars.
What's the biggest lesson that you learned from Dale? I remember you coming in the deadline room, I think it was at Daytona, and Dale gave you a big hug. I have a picture of him just grabbing you and hugging you when you won. What have you, like, if you could pick out one thing that he taught you, you know,
because
you were lucky to race for him.
Yeah, I think he was there for me more off the track in personal life situations and just being a friend during those times. So I would say just his support and his mentorship during times of that mean more than any conversation we've had about race cars and just growing up and positions that we've been in life. And so him being able to put his arm around my shoulder, I remember it being in the media. So I think I have the picture that you took with his arm around me. He's wearing a camo jacket. I have that picture saved and on my phone, just because that was more than the on-track stuff. It was his support and his friendship has been, they stick out in my mind.
Well, that's maybe what a young driver needs more than any young driver, someone to help them navigate a life partner.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you grow up looking at this, these guys in the Cup Series and racing in the Xfinity, you know, any type of racing, these guys are superstars and they're superheroes. And there's no problems for these guys. They got life made. That's bullshit. Life is not made for anyone. Everybody deals, no matter who it is, deals with their own personal problems. And obviously Dale, he's one of the biggest names in our sport. We all got our personal issues that we deal with, and he's been, you know, a good friend of mine and has helped me through the tough times. Yeah, they've been good. They've been there for the good times, the not good times. They've been big support, and we've had a lot of times where we agree on stuff. There's been, you know, very, very few times where we disagree on things, me and LW, but at the end of the day, it's more than a team owner and a driver relationship that we've had. You know, it's on a personal level, and their support and their friendship is a lot different than I've ever really had. So, like I said, they're like an aunt and uncle to me. It's like family.
Kind of off that, with all the changes you've had the last few years, how important is it to have stability?
Well, I don't want to say we'll see, but I've been certainly looking for stability in my Cup career through the last 4 years. So, with that being said, I've gone into the race season, you know, feeling like I have this, and I really do truly feel like I have this stability. It's Front Row Motorsports. Bob Jenkins, he's invested a lot of this sport, not only monetarily, but with his time and his passion and his excitement level to go to the racetrack each and every weekend and improve and get better. I mean, seeing where they were 10, 15 years ago to where they're at now, it's impressive. And the sky truly is the limit. They want to keep on growing, and they're never satisfied. And the goal is to never be worse. Always keep growing each and every day. That's big confidence for me in the stability of my Cup career. And I feel like Front Row Motorsports is my home, and I truly think it'll be there for a long time. There's challenges with that, but I also feel like there's opportunity. You can see how different teams are structured. You can see what works, what doesn't work, and be able to grow. I mean, if I look back at legend car racing, right? It's easy to have being the fastest car and win every race, but unless you're going through challenges and adversity, you're not learning anything at all. And to be able to be at different organizations, work with several different crew members, different drivers, learning off them, has it been challenging? Has there been adversity? Absolutely. But I wouldn't trade it for the world, because I've been able to learn so much from each and every driver and crew member and experience I've been in, that I feel like I'm better, in a better position today than if I were to be somewhere for the last 4 years consistently. I think he's most importantly a good leader for our race team, and everybody's motivated and excited to get to the racetrack and get to work every day. And that confidence and that energy, it carries. I'm a guy who rides off momentum, and I ride the peaks and the valleys. But that being said, it lifts me up as a driver, and the best I run is when I have the most amount of confidence and the most amount of momentum behind me, and I can carry that momentum week in and week out when I have a crew chief like Drew. So he can pick me up when times are bad. When I need to focus a little bit, he can, you know, smack me on the back of the head and say, hey, it's time to lock in. He's a great piece of the puzzle. It's not the biggest piece of the puzzle, at least for me, and my process and my preparation and what we can do on Sundays.
Now, do you consider race
car
drivers athletes?
I do. It's probably not your traditional athlete, but I do consider them athletes, yeah.
Why?
I think most importantly, having endurance mentally. A lot of what we do might not be the most physically demanding thing, other than the heat. The heat being 140, 150 degrees, it certainly wears you out, but it wears you out mentally too at the end of these 500-mile long races when you need to be fresh. With that being said, I've sat in the sauna with Colin Morikawa in Las Vegas, and he's an athlete, he's a golfer, arguably one of the top five golfers in the world, top 10, and the sauna's no problem for me. It's just, we're athletes in different areas. Could I do what Colin does? No. Could Colin do what we do? No. It's just, as you go up through the ranks, you start to figure out, you know, what it takes to be a good race car driver, and we train a specific way to be able to be good at what we do. I don't train the same way as LeBron James trains, and LeBron James doesn't train the same way Colin Morikawa does, but people are at the top level of their sport. So I would say it's not the greatest answer, but I would say it's definitely an athletic thing.
What were you doing last night? Like,
part 75? Yeah, I did the 75 kind of soft. I was doing one. So 75 hard is like two workouts a day, 45 minutes. One has to be indoor, outdoor, no alcohol, drinking a gallon of water, reading 10 pages of a book. And then I think there's something else. But I was doing basically, I just want to be more active. And I was doing a gallon of water a day, no alcohol, doing something active every day, and it's good. Last year, 2024, I wanted to do something every day to keep me going, whether it be reading pages of a book or whatnot. So last year I did 100 push-ups a day, and just do something repetitive each and every day to create a habit and push yourself to do something each and every day. So doing those 100 push-ups, there'd be times I'd be laying in bed, be 11:30 at night. Oh, shit, I got to do my push-ups. My girlfriend laughs about that all the time. She tells everyone, she's like, he'll be laying in bed every day. I got to do my push-ups. And I get up and do them just because I wanted to stay consistent. And I feel like consistency is great for me and my personal life.
I don't want to sound the way I'm going to phrase it, but, you know, there are times that your fire students fit better than others.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been fat.
Yeah, well,
I've been skinnier. I think it could go both ways. There's definitely, like, I could go on a 2 or 3 hour long bike ride and feel good, but, there's other times where, yeah, maybe shedding a few pounds would help. I've obviously, everybody would love to be in better shape, right? But, I think having water, I talked about Tyler Reddick about this because he, 4 or 5 years ago, went through a big transition where he was a little heftier, and he lost a ton of weight, and he was super, super skinny. And he was like, man, I feel terrible at the end of these races. I don't have the water in me to be fresh at the end of it. So I don't think he's gained weight since then, but he's found a process on his hydration and everything. But having it's not good to be chunkier, right? But I don't necessarily think it's a terrible thing to have a little extra meat on your bones because you have water weight with that. And I feel, I personally feel fresh at the end of these races, probably more so. And that comes with, you know, experience and getting my process down better, drinking a lot more water and being accustomed to the environment of 500 miles in these races during the hot summer months. But, I feel fresh. So yeah, I'm always working harder to lose the weight, but I do feel fresh at the end of these races. So it's not the end all be all for me on, man, I'm not a good race car driver. Like, I feel mentally fresh at the end of these races. So
last but not least, as a Nevada guy with access to those wide open freeways, how fast do you go on the interstate?
The speed limit.
I honestly feel like you guys are lying when you say that. On a wide open Nevada road, no cars in sight, miles.
A couple over, probably, sometimes, if I'm needing to pass a car, and I just cruise, you know, speed limit.
You're a liar.
You and your teammates, you seem like you're really, truly good friends, like great friends, right? How did you guys build those relationships, and how big has that been to you and your transition?
It's been very, very natural. I mean, it certainly helps being able to be the same age, and growing up racing with each other. People always say, don't bring your friends, or don't have friends at the racetrack. If you want friends at the racetrack, bring your friends. I'm truly grateful to be friends with my competitors because at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know if you heard Carl Edwards' speech, first Hall of Fame, but it really stuck out to me. He said, you know, I didn't truly know how much the competitors meant to me, the competitors do mean a lot to me. There's only 35, 36 of us, like, full time that get to do this every single weekend. And I treat it more as a fraternity rather than all these guys are my enemies. You know, we have to be around each other for 38 weeks in a row, if not longer. We have to be with each other throughout the week. If you hate every single person you have to go to work with, you're going to be miserable. And I'm friends with a lot of these guys and pretty cordial with all of them. So with that being said, Zane, Todd, we grew up racing together. It makes that very easy because we've been able to grow up at the track, hanging out with each other. And then we hang out away from the racetrack too, just because we have a natural friendship and relationship. So we'll have beers together, we'll go on vacation together, or obviously racing with each other as teammates now. It makes it pretty easy to be able to be teammates with those guys because we all enjoy each other.
The Xfinity series, just the Xfinity bonus for a fastest lap, do you think that it could alter strategies on super speedways and road courses like guys running fresh tires?
I don't know if it would alter the race strategy. I think if you have a bad pit stop or anything, like on the, I think of it on the super speedways, like guys are going to flip the stages no matter what. So they'll probably run hard, but the fastest lap on road courses are typically up front. So I think, the guys, and if you're, pit stops don't go as planned on super speedways, I think it might just luck into that position where you're in the back of the pack and you can get a big run, but I don't think anybody's altering their strategy to lag, to be in the back and get a big run on super speedways or anything like that, no.
Who's your favorite Saturday Night Live actor or actress?
I don't know. I've never watched Saturday Night Live. Yeah, was he on? I've never watched it, so.
You've never watched him, but you
know who he was? Yeah, just